It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Thursday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is June 15 of 2023. Thanks so much for being here. Like usual, an ambitious agenda laid out, details forthcoming. First things first, though, thanks so much for being here, whether you're tuned in on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Give me a follow and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650thefan on the Zuckerberg machine. You'll find us. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. You'll get more local and statewide sports in your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Make sure that you bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. Not only for that stream to listen to all of our great programming, but the website has all sorts of stuff that you're going to want to check out on a regular basis. Local, statewide, national sports content, audio on demand. Once again, I'll mention it. Former Cedar Falls and UNI men's basketball standout, current Milwaukee Bucks guard, A.J. Green, joined us earlier this week on the show. And if you missed it, or I should say last week, A.J. joined us on the show. And if you missed it, you can go and listen online at the website, on demand, podcast form, 1650thefan.com. Tune in. And a lot of great stuff there. If you ever see a tweet about someone who's going to be on the show and you miss it, it's more than likely going to be available for you to go back and listen on demand at the website, 1650thefan.com. Number to dial if you want to join in today with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you can email the show. Questions or comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show, by all means, send me an email. Don't be shy. Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com is the email address. All right, coming up today on the show, like always, we'll get to area sports news and scores for your Thursday. Plenty to get to in the stack. We'll do that in just a bit. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set, among other things, if you want to put a shekel or two down on the Cubs game tonight, which, of course, you'll hear right here on The Fan. It's the series finale against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Cubs, somehow, some way, the NL Central, as you might say, is a little bit of a weak division. And therefore, the Cubs, having won two in a row of this three-game set, against the Buccos, are now only 4.5 games out of the NL Central Division lead. And, of course, a win tonight against the Pirates, who are in first place of the aforementioned NL Central, would put the Cubs just 3.5 games out. So just when you think all is lost, they reel us back in, right? So I am currently in, as Ron Burgundy would say, a glass case of emotion on what the hell to think about my Chicago Cubs. And Cody Bellinger back off of the injured list, and the youngster Matt Mervis after getting his first taste of the big leagues and struggling a decent amount, sent back down to Triple A Iowa today. That was the roster move. So Bellinger's back, and he's playing first base in tonight's lineup. Sounds like they're going to take it easy and be precautious as he works back from a knee bruise. He had banged it up in Houston a little over a month ago, making an insane catch against the wall. And Jed Hoyer says it's all precautionary. He could play the outfield, but they're going to play him at first base to start. And it seems like they're all in right now, which I don't know why they weren't all in like 4 weeks ago in terms of putting their best nine guys out there on any given night. But here we are. Cubs are 4.5 games out. They could be 3.5 after tonight's game, the series finale against the Pirates, and we'll just see where we go from there. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Pre-game coverage of Cubs-Pirates begins at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05, and it's Marcus Stroman on the bump tonight. So you got to like your chances to complete this sweep here if you're a Cubs fan. Or maybe you're a Cardinal fan out there and you think, man, we could actually use the Cubs to beat the Pirates right now. So I guess here we are. We're watching the standings in mid-June. That doesn't make much sense. Nonetheless, Cubs baseball tonight here on The Fan. And the VSiN Action Update with Brent Musburger will get you set if you want to bet a shekel or two on it. After we're done hearing from Brent and the guys in Vegas with the VSiN Update, we'll get a forecast in that first time out from Megan Mulford for the rest of this warmed up Thursday. It's feeling like summer out there today. And Megan will give us the forecast for the rest of this evening. Looking into tomorrow and Saturday, we'll come back from that first timeout. And our friend Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register is going to join the show. Dargan does an outstanding job covering Iowa baseball, among many other things, for the Register. You heard him multiple times throughout the Iowa Hawkeye baseball season. And he's going to join the show and preview the College World Series for us, which begins tomorrow. And we will be carrying some of those College World Series games beginning tomorrow night, 5:40. We'll have Virginia versus Florida. That's the second game tomorrow at the College World Series in Omaha. So you're looking at Oral Roberts, TCU, Virginia, Florida, Stanford, Wake Forest, Tennessee, and LSU. Your eight teams at the College World Series. Dargan, he knows a little bit about all of them, and he'll join us to break it down. And also, if time permits, Dargan does a good job covering some Iowa Hawkeye football for the Register. So we'll compare some notes here and have a mid-June conversation about Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI football. It's never too early on this program to talk college football. We make no apologies. But that's what's coming up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done with Dargan, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break, and we'll continue what we started earlier this week on the show, and that being midseason check-ins with our metro and area high school baseball and softball teams as we are crossing the halfway point, or have crossed the halfway point of the regular season for both baseball and softball. And we've got some really good quality teams in the metro and surrounding area that look to be right in the thick of things when the postseason rolls around. So in the third segment of today's show, first-year Waterloo Columbus Catholic High School softball coach Ryan Reginald will join the show to tell us about the Sailor softball team, which is 16-4 overall so far this season and 7-0 in the Central Division of the North Iowa Cedar League. And as you might imagine, that's good for first place right now. So it's a Sailor softball team that's looking quite formidable, and that they've got some big things in store for the postseason. So we'll check in with Coach Reginald in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up this Thursday edition of the show. Yeah, just real quick note there on the College World Series games you can listen to here on The Fan, of course. If you want all the information, go to the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. On the homepage, you'll see the on-air tab. Hover your mouse over that. Then you'll see the drop-down menu where you can click on the broadcast calendar. But what I can tell you right now is tomorrow night, 5:40 with a 6 o'clock first pitch, Virginia, Florida. And then because the Cubs have a day game, so we'll get the evening game from the College World Series. Same goes for Saturday when we'll have the evening game from the College World Series, and that's Tennessee LSU. So a top shelf SEC matchup in Omaha at the College World Series you can tune into at 5:40 on Saturday evening. So, and for the rest of the details about which games we'll be bringing you, as I mentioned, go to the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. Okay, let's go ahead and dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Thursday. Looking back last night in Metro High School baseball, Gladbrook Rhinebeck rolled past Waterloo Columbus 19-7. And in Metro softball, Waterloo West defeated Waterloo Columbus 12-2. Meanwhile, this evening in Metro baseball, Cedar Falls is at Waterloo West. Waterloo East has a doubleheader at Fort Dodge, and Waterloo Columbus plays host to Denver. In Metro softball, Cedar Falls has a doubleheader at Western Dubuque. Waterloo West plays host to Iowa City Liberty, and Columbus softball also at home against Denver. Iowa State has unveiled plans for an indoor and outdoor tennis complex. Plans are to purchase an existing 4-court indoor tennis bubble and expand it to 6 courts. Also in the plans are to construct 6 new outdoor courts on the property and a team building. Pending the Iowa Board of Regents approval, the completed facility will be leased to Iowa State Athletics. The 6 outdoor courts are scheduled to be completed in the fall, with the indoor court expansion and team facility to be ready in the fall of 2024. 2 members of the UNI football team have been named to the Blue Bloods FCS Second Team All-American squad. The Panthers selected senior defensive back Wu Governor and senior kicker Matthew Cook. Governor appeared in all 11 games for the Panthers last season, had 61 tackles, and led the team with 4 interceptions, became a second-team All-Missouri Valley Conference selection as a result. Meanwhile, Cook, a Cedar Falls native, was named to 3 All-American teams last season. He made 14 of 17 field goals, was a perfect 45 of 45 on PATs. Matthew Cook holds both the UNI and Missouri Valley Football Conference records for career field goals made with 67, and he holds the UNI record with 124 consecutive made extra points. Hey, did you see this? 2026 could be a historic season for the UNI football program. The Panthers are currently scheduled to play both Iowa and Iowa State in the same season for the first time ever in 26. UNI has never beaten the Hawkeyes. Last meeting came in 2018. Panthers are 5-16 against the Cyclones. The last matchup came in 2021. Also in the 2026 season, UNI will be playing another in-state opponent. Panthers are scheduled to host Drake at the Unidome. Sticking with the Panthers in some shape or form here, former UNI women's basketball standout Brittany Donaldson has been hired as an assistant coach with the NBA's Atlanta Hawks. Donaldson becomes the first female coach in the 76-year history of the franchise. The Sioux City native was a 2-year starter at guard for the Panthers. She played in 114 games and still holds the program's single-game record of 8 three-pointers in a contest. She was part of the Toronto Raptors staff that helped deliver the franchise's first NBA championship in 2019. Last year, Donaldson worked for the Detroit Pistons. She's just 1 of 15 women to be a full-time assistant coach in the over 70-year history of the NBA. After a day off, the Waterloo Bucks resume Northwoods League play this evening at first place Rochester. Rochester leading the Great Plains East Division with an 11-5 record. Waterloo 5 games back at 6-10. The Bucks have won 2 in a row after a 6-game losing streak. First pitch is at 6:35 tonight. And in case you missed it, the 123rd U.S. Open Golf Tournament began earlier today. It's the 3rd of the 4 majors in the calendar year. Action taking place at Los Angeles Country Club. Of course, the tournament goes through Sunday. I did see Ricky Fowler and who else was it? I do know that Ricky Fowler, yeah, Xander Schauffele, the other one, that shot a U.S. Open record 62, 8-under in the first round today. And I had seen video of just how thick the rough was and how fast the greens were rolling. And, wow, a couple obviously incredibly low numbers there from Xander Schauffele and Ricky Fowler, both shooting 62 in the first round of the U.S. Open today. So let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll preview the College World Series. Dargan Southard does an outstanding job covering Iowa baseball. He knows his college baseball. He will join us next to preview the College World Series right here on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
Round one at the U.S. Open continues, but Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele are in the lead at 8-under par. They both shot a first-round 62, which is tied for the lowest score in any round in men's major championship history. Speaking of championships, Nikola Jokic was having a great time at the Denver Nuggets parade.
You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I want to stay on parade. This is the best. Remember this our whole lives, and when we see you guys that came out on the streets, and actually this one is for you. We love you, Denver. This one is for you. Thank you, guys.
Man, I wish I was in Denver. Right now in Major League Baseball, the A's were down, but not anymore. They have tied the game at home against the Rays. They are tied at 3 apiece, top of the 7th inning. Phillies beating the Diamondbacks 5-4, bottom of the 7th.
Be the smartest fan at work. Lock your radio right here on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
If you need a garage, you need Action, Action Garage Builders.
Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
This month, we're extending a hearty congratulations to our Gold Star teachers, Central Middle School's Kendall Rockford, Irving Elementary's Ann Schreck, Orange Elementary's Roshana Greer, and Hoover Middle School's Joellen Pruis. We're also celebrating our board members for the positive impact they make on our district. Specifically, get this. Board member Lyle Schmidt has served 30 years on our Waterloo Schools board. Thank you, Director Schmidt. Recently, he shared with us that he was the first in his family to be able to go to college. He became an engineer, and it changed the trajectory of his life. And he serves on our board and supports education because, in his words, what we offer today can change the trajectory of many students' lives ahead. We also celebrated the 20th anniversary of the opening of the Dr. Walter Cunningham School for Excellence. At Waterloo Schools, we're so proud of our rich traditions and phenomenal students, staff, board, and volunteers. Thank you to the entire community for supporting our students. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
123rd U.S. Open, Los Angeles Country Club tees off today. Scottie Scheffler is the 6-1 favorite. John Rahm is 9-1. Brooks Koepka 12-1. Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, both 16-1. Cubs a $2.40 favorite at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates today. 8.5 under the total at Wrigley Field. Marcus Stroman for the Cubs. Johan Oviedo pitching for the Pirates. Cardinals yesterday drop an 8-5 decision to the Giants. Giants with $1.36 road underdog. The Cardinals had the day off. They look to end their 5-game slide of the New York Mets tomorrow. Both teams minus 110 on the money line. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 55. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 57. chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday. Upper 80s, Saturday, low 80s by Sunday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 86.
You are listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6, right here on The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. The College World Series begins tomorrow, and we will be bringing you some of those College World Series games beginning tomorrow evening, 5:40 airtime, Virginia against Florida. For full details on which games will carry, visit 1650thefan.com. Go to our broadcast calendar. But we want to get a preview of the eight teams competing for college baseball's national championship. So we bring in Iowa baseball beat writer Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register. Dargan, thanks so much for being here, man. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited for this weekend. It's always funny for me going to the Big Ten tournament at Charles Schwab Field, Omaha.
Yeah.
And seeing that place, you know, largely empty for most of the time there. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, it's just jam-packed in the center of college baseball. So it's kind of an interesting transition there. But, yeah, it's a good field and should be a fun week ahead.
How about we just start there with the environment that's created at the College World Series? Now, albeit, you know, so many of the SEC teams get outstanding home field environments. But some of these other teams, be it an Oral Roberts, maybe like a TCU, I can't imagine that they have seen something close to an environment that they'll get at Charles Schwab Field in Omaha. So how much of a factor can the environment play? I mean, you've been to plenty of College World Series before. How much of a factor can that play in games?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, something that is, you know, on that magnitude, not really something that teams deal with a whole lot. Even in the SEC, I mean, I think maybe the biggest capacity is, you know, 10, 11,000 maybe. And obviously they can get pretty rowdy, but, you know, Charles Schwab Field to me is closer to a big league park than even a minor league park, even something like Principal Park. So, you know, it is funny to think about, especially in Oral Roberts' case, all the low number crowds that they've played in, you know, whether it's in conference play or in the non-conference or whatnot, and then all of a sudden they're on this biggest on the biggest stage, you know, of the season. But you know, they've gone on the road a couple of times and won the regional and the super regional. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who kind of dominates the turnout. I would think Wake Forest would have a pretty solid turnout. They're a team that isn't usually at the top of the totem pole there. I expect Tennessee, all the SEC schools really to pile into Omaha. And so it's kind of this interesting thing. I had a lot of people texting me this week saying that, you know, Tennessee supporters saying that this is the only time that they are willingly going to go to Nebraska. So it is kind of funny that Omaha, it becomes like this epicenter of something really significant this time of year. So
yeah,
I expect great crowds all week.
Oral Roberts TCU is the first game tomorrow, then the evening game Virginia Florida, then a pair on Saturday before, you know, things start shaking out, and the two on Saturday begins with Stanford, Wake Forest, and then Tennessee, LSU. Let's start with that first game tomorrow, Dargan. Oral Roberts, TCU. Is it fair to say that Oral Roberts is the Cinderella of this group, or might Oral Roberts be here to say, okay, we know we don't have the name, the brand name value, but our resume speaks for itself. Like, what's the dynamic here?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have to call them a Cinderella just because, you know, I believe they're only the fourth number four regional seed to ever make it to Omaha. So obviously that puts them in a pretty exclusive group. But, I mean, this isn't a team that came out of nowhere and is kind of riding a wave. I mean, they dominated the Summit League all year long, dominated the Summit League tournament. went into Stillwater at Oklahoma State, dominated that regional, and then, you know, really showed some guts this past weekend up at Oregon, blow an 8-0 lead in the first game, largest blown lead ever in the Super Regionals, and they come back and win the next two games at Oregon. So, you know, again, they're kind of the team that maybe looks a little out of place, but they definitely have taken, you know, one of the more grueling routes there, so I feel like they're pretty prepared. TCU kind of, I guess if you wanted to have a team that fit the Ole Miss mold a little bit of last year of a Power 5 school that kind of, you know, maybe didn't have its best foot always put forward during the regular season, turns it on, you know, late in the postseason, and then just rides that wave into the playoffs. And so, you know, they got a fortunate break getting Indiana State at home, just because Terre Haute wasn't able to host that regional. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I actually think that was a pretty big deal. That was a pretty big break. One loose Iowa connection there. Justin Hackett, freshman pitcher from Winterset, is on that team. He's thrown some innings this year, and TCU's also come into the state and had a couple other guys commit out in central Iowa. So they've definitely a program that's not, you know, maybe this season it wasn't expected they were going to get there given the way the year worked, but certainly a program that has a lot of depth and is used to playing this time of year. And then Florida Virginia on Friday, I think, is a really intriguing matchup. A lot of high-end firepower on that team. Two teams that have, you know, arguably were the best, you know, among the best two teams in the two toughest leagues this year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Florida Virginia, they have a lot of Omaha experience, both of those programs. So certainly deep runs is what those guys are expecting. And then Saturday is, I mean, the second bracket is just absolutely loaded. I mean, you have Wake, Stanford, LSU, and Tennessee. That was like, I believe I saw that was preseason like 1, 2, 3, and 6 this year.
Wow.
With how the season started. So, you know, Paul Skeens for LSU is pretty much dominated college baseball all year long. You know, coming over from Air Force and really just taking off this year. And then Wake has been, you know, pretty interesting to watch just because they're right in the heart of ACC baseball in North Carolina and, you know, are always, you know, competitive in the conference, but rarely do they have a team like this that, you know, gets the number one overall seed and rolls through the tournament. And so it'll be interesting to see if the number one overall seed curse finally gets broken. No number one overall seed has won since 1999.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible to think about. But not once in the last 24 years, the team that was the best team going into the tournament actually won the tournament. So that's to me, those are probably the biggest storylines of the Saturday games.
That stat right there, Dargan, makes me think of the classic baseball refrain of baseball gonna baseball. I mean, it's just...
And it's kind of like become a second nature thing, I guess, to college baseball people, which sometimes I feel like masks how absurd that is. That, you know, again, expecting the number one overall seed to win every year or win most years is probably not accurate. But you would think once in the last 2.5 decades that the team that was the best team in the season would win. But hasn't happened yet for whatever reason.
Something I always like to do whenever we're not talking about something that's local or within the state, and you had the great note there about TCU with an Iowa pitcher on its staff, but, you know, a reason to watch, there's a reason why we're talking about this. I'm sure there are people out there that go, I don't know how interested I'll be. I watched Iowa in the regionals, but Paul Skeens that you mentioned from LSU, if you are a baseball fan, I mean, this kid is one hell of a hurler. It makes me think about Kumar Rocker, who was a sensation with Vandy not too long ago. That was, what, 2 or 3 seasons ago now. It makes me think about going all the way back as a Cubs fan to what Mark Pryor did with USC all those years ago. Like, this seems to be the type of pitcher, Dargan, and tell me if I'm wrong, like, is he one of those guys that maybe, you know, 10, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, When you talk about College World Series history, Paul Skenes is the type of pitcher that could leave that big of an imprint on this College World Series?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. So I'm going over there Saturday to watch Tennessee, my alma mater. But part of the intrigue and wanting to go there was to see Paul Skenes pitch. So, yeah, I mean, he's been just electric all year long, dominant in the best conference. It's interesting. I've read some stuff on him, and one of the biggest things that he credits to his explosion this year is, you know, he's an Air Force transfer, is not having to go through the academy stipulations that come with being a student in an armed forces school. So it's funny, you know, I every time I see his name, I think back to the 2022 season. Iowa opens with Air Force down in Port Charlotte, Florida, and they actually rocked Paul Skenes. I was just looking at the box score before the show.
No kidding.
7 hits, 4 runs, and 3 1/3 innings, and Iowa won that game 12-2. So pretty crazy there to have him, you know, turn from, you know, a decent pitcher into, you know, clear cut the best arm in baseball, and it'll be pretty fun to watch in Omaha.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, another thing that is lighting up the college baseball conversation was Stanford pitcher Quinn Matthews recently threw a 156 pitch complete game. Dargan, where are you at with this? Because for me, if this kid pretty much is thinking, you know, my professional prospects are not outstanding, maybe he came back because he wanted to, you know, be in that position, then I think it's okay. I honestly, for whatever the hell it's worth, I remember throwing a 7-inning complete game of like 141 pitches in high school, and it was like, well, I feel fine. My arm feels fine. So, I mean, do we get a little too wrapped up in the numbers? I mean, where are you at? Because this is, like I said, it's become a big part here right now of what everybody's talking about as the College World Series begins tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd probably fall more on the side with you. You know, I don't really know exactly what his draft prospects are, but there's at least a decent chance that the most noteworthy baseball that guy's going to play is in college at Stanford, trying to go to the College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the pure numbers that happen with guys who try to get to the big leagues and don't. So, if it was any other setting, I guess I would maybe be a little more concerned because, you know, 156 is pushing the limits of absurd, I guess you could say. But again, you know, that was a big moment, a big point in the season for a team that, you know, was the number 8 overall seed. They're trying to win a title and all that. So I think, you know, again, if he's going into the 110s, 120s, every start, that's probably not what you want, but in this particular situation, I guess I can understand the emotional attachment to the moment and, you know, wanting to deliver in the way that he ultimately did.
I think it's all case by case when it comes to that stuff.
Yep, I really agree.
Yep. Hey, Dargan, I got to run. Great stuff, man. Appreciate you being here today.
All righty. Thanks, Cole.
Thank you. Dargan Southard, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us today on the show and preview the College World Series, which begins tomorrow. And we'll have Virginia, Florida tomorrow night right here on The Fan, coverage beginning at 5:40. All right, let's take this time out. Next on the show, we're talking Waterloo Columbus High School softball with first-year coach Ryan Reginald right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa Cubs continue an International League homestand tonight against Indianapolis. The iCubs claimed an 8-1 victory Wednesday afternoon as the teams have split the first two games. Midwest League tonight, Cedar Rapids hosts South Bend. The Quad Cities are at Beloit. Omaha has hosted the College World Series every year since 1950, and 8 teams begin play tomorrow afternoon. It starts with TCU against Oral Roberts. The Horned Frogs have won 19 of their last 21 after starting the season 23-20.
There's a lot of people outside of our locker room that probably didn't think we'd be here a month or two ago, but the resiliency in our team and our program, obviously, the guys did the work and we're here because of them.
That's TCU coach Kirk Sarlos. And Iowa sophomore pitcher Brody Breck has been named the third team All-American by Perfect Game. He finished 5-2 this past season for the Hawkeyes. This is Radio Iowa.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
What if, instead of looking down on people struggling with using drugs, we saw them as people instead? People who have interests and passions. People that have loved ones they care about and loved ones who care about them. They have a powerful illness, and they need help and support so they can live the life they want and deserve. See the person, not the addiction. Learn more at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
Conservative governor and business leader Doug Burgum.
I grew up in a tiny town in North Dakota. Woke was what you did at 5 a.m. to start the day. I started a shoeshine business, worked at the grain elevator, and as a chimney sweep. I literally bet the farm to help build a tiny startup into a billion-dollar company with customers in 132 countries. A kid from small-town North Dakota. That's America.
That's Doug Burgum, world-class business leader, remarkably successful two-term conservative governor. Doug Burgum has a conservative plan for the economy, energy, and national security. He'll cut taxes, create energy independence, and win the Cold War with China. Doug Burgum is a new leader for a changing economy.
I'm Doug Burgum, and I approve this message. Paid for by Doug Burgum for America.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach MindLinks. I had been focusing my business originally on leadership development, and after about 4 years, what I realized was there was something missing. And having a 25-year background in operations, I wasn't using any of that knowledge. When I found Action Coach, it really gave me the tools and resources to incorporate all of that and make the wheel I already had grow and be able to move faster. The important thing when I'm talking about Action Coach MindLinks to take into consideration is it's not where I'm coming in and I tell any business owner how to do their job. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have. Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. A coach is about helping you get clear on what you should do based on your goals.
Hi, this is Andrew Kaler from Denver Insurance. Life is complicated. Your insurance shouldn't be. Why not simplify it with policy bundling? Grinnell Mutual and Denver Insurance give you lower rates for each policy when you bundle your home and auto insurance together. It's a one-and-done solution, and that's a win-win. Make your life easy with bundled insurance so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Denver Insurance today.
This is Zach Gelb, and you're listening to Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader. Next up from 6 to 9 is me. It's the Zach Gelb Show, weeknights right here on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And earlier this week on the show, we began to check in with Metro and area baseball and softball teams as we're getting into the back half of the regular season, if you can believe it, of those seasons. So right now we're joined on the show by Waterloo Columbus Catholic High School softball coach Ryan Reginald. The Sailors are 16-4 this season, 7-0 in the Central Division of the North Iowa Cedar League. So we're going to check in with the Sailors. And Coach Reginald, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Thank you, Cole. I'm doing good, man. Getting ready for a big weekend coming up here. Heading to Fort Dodge for a good one. So it never stops.
No, it doesn't. And that's what we've been talking about on the show so far this week, is just how quick the Iowa high school baseball and softball seasons go. They're kind of their own beast when it comes to just how the schedule lays out. So totally understandable to hear where you're coming from there. And like you mentioned, you've got the Dodger invite, this weekend, a big tournament that you're taking your team to. You've got the Denver Cyclones tonight. We'll talk about both of those coming up in just a little bit, Coach Reginald. But first things first, I mean, you're 20 games into your season. Tell us what stuck out most to you with this Sailor softball team, as, of course, you are in year one as their head coach.
It's been a pretty interesting ride so far. I mean, the thing that stands out to me initially that's kind of been tough has been the injuries. We lost our starting catcher and returning second team all-stater and Katie Rudin pretty early in the year, the first week of the season. We had a rough one. We went 3-3 in that last game of the first week against Clarksville, knotted up 1-1 against them, and she slid in and tore some ligaments and did some more damage to an already healing knee. So that's been pretty tough. Nyjah Simmons, who we got her back, after we had got 10 games into the season, and mid last week, she tore some ligaments in her knee. You think you're stepping over one hurdle, and you got some light at the end of the tunnel, and then we have one more setback. So definitely didn't anticipate some of that stuff, but on the bright side, I mean, pitching in the circle against 2A competition, Haley Frost has been an absolute animal. She's been great. She's been hitting her spots. She's pitched well for us. Hitting the top five in the order, I couldn't ask for a better mix. I mean, from Cameron leading off to Ella Smith hitting five for me. I mean, I think between those five girls, they're hitting almost 500 between the five of them. Trying to figure out the bottom half of my order has been kind of a mystery. Game in and game out, but we have a few other pretty solid staples in there from some sophomores in Sawyer Schaefer and Micah Bromley that have done a very good job for us. So it's just kind of like those two ball players away that we've really been looking for somebody to step up and kind of take charge.
Yeah, and all the best to Nyjah and Katie in their recoveries. That's tough news to hear about, but I would imagine, Coach Reginald, to just try to look at it glass half full, knowing the the Sailor softball program, as you kind of touched on already, mentioned some sophomores, you've got underclassmen in the program that are ready to, seize what, of course, is an unfortunate situation, but albeit a situation that presents them with opportunity. And I would imagine here that, in the back half of the regular season, you're probably looking at those players, those underclassmen, and going, here's your opportunity. We're gonna give you guys some rope here, and whoever can seize the moment, it's yours.
Yep, and that's what we have to do. It has to always be that next player up. Cheyenne Peters, going into the year, ideally was going to probably catch every single game for us in the JV outings, and she's had to step up, and I think she's started 17 of the 20 games behind the dish. And only getting better every single week. She's a very hard on herself, but a very hard worker, and she really expects perfection on herself, out of herself, and she keeps getting better every week. So we're really hoping by the end of the year we have a polished product back there, and these girls stepping up on a week in and week out basis, trying to find that last spot. We've given a lot of girls some opportunities. That'll shape up itself too by the end of the year.
I would imagine as well, Coach Reginald, you've spoken about, the realities of the lineup in terms of batting order and who's best to put where in the field, given these obstacles that you've encountered as a team so far. What does it present to you and your staff in terms of, okay, we got a group of seniors over here. We're pretty confident about what they bring in any given game, any given night, practice, so on and so forth. Coaching them is going to be a lot different than coaching – it would seem this other half of your roster the way it looks now.
Right, and that's the thing is, I mean, you got five seniors left in the lineup. You're looking at them to lead and lead by example in the games. So these younger players know, what to expect when they're called upon. And I really feel like they've done a fantastic job. I couldn't ask for a better group of seniors. They've really paved the way. They've been, most of them have been in the lineup for up to 4 or 5 years now. This will be some of them have even played for 5 years. and dating back to that inexperience that they got, or that inexperience they had going into, you know, going into the state tournament as eighth graders and seeing that experience. So that's kind of the plan, is to hope that they can get to that, you know, for some of these other younger players and provide them that opportunity to see, you know, to experience that as well.
Yeah, makes sense. Good to hear. Waterloo Columbus Catholic High School softball coach Ryan Reginald, our guest right now on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. We've talked a lot here about this balance between older and younger players, but when you look at the team as a collective unit, Coach, is there anything that you point to and go, okay, man, we're playing good softball, but if we get a little better here or if we get a little better there, we're going to be that much tougher to beat by the time the postseason comes around?
Base running, 1,000% stands out to us as a coaching staff. You know, we're pretty crisp with about 4 to 5 girls running the bases, but after that, it's almost like every experience, learning experience, ends in and out. And hopefully at some point we take away from that and we learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
But it beats us up every single night. And, you know, against O-line the other night, they're a darn good ball club. They put together a great team on the field. You know, we had bases loaded, no outs, for an example, and we didn't get a run across the board. You know, and I look at myself, beat myself up about it throughout the night, thinking, what could I have done differently here? What should I have done there? And it's just, these girls need, you know, to keep polishing on their softball IQ. A lot of the younger girls don't have the past experience in the travel ball playing and those examples and experience situations since they were in, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. So it really does, show, you know, in those games.
Few more minutes here with Ryan Reginald, Waterloo Columbus Catholic High School softball coach. Take us inside the season that senior pitcher Hallie Frost is having. As you touched on earlier, she's been quite dominant this season, evidenced by an ERA below 2. She struck out 117 batters and 80 innings pitched, coached, and she's, most importantly, I would say, she's only walked 8 batters. You got to love that. Just take us inside a player that not only is impacting you in the circle, but is also delivering, as you touched on as well, in the batter's box.
Oh, I mean, she works the count as good as anybody as I've ever seen. She has such good hand-eye coordination, and she follows the ball deep into the strike zone. I mean, 20 walks on the season already for herself in a plate, an on-base percentage of almost 700. You know, she's a tough player to get off, to keep off the bases. And then in the circle, it's just polishing and hitting those spots, making sure we provide her the adequate time to get warmed up. I mean, we've really been trying to get a good blend and give them a good break. Micah Bromley's done a good job in the circle as well. But doing a good surge of mixing half of them in, or mixing in, you know, one of them to get half the game and the other to get the other half type thing. So it's been a good mix. Haley's done a fantastic job. I think throwing to new catchers kind of gets to be a new thing after you've had that for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
the same way. But, you know, we're working through all those little kinks that we kind of thought were going to be ironed out at the beginning of the year and be smooth sailing. And, you know, it's what makes for the season. That's why we play the game.
And I would imagine, you know, given the adversity, the obstacles that have come up so far this season, whether it's Haley, Ella, Sydney, Cameron, like this group of seniors that you have, their numbers speak for themselves, but it would seem perhaps when, you know, the rubber meets the road and the postseason rolls around, the hope is that not only just the production, but you'll be able to extract value from the intangibles they'll provide, right?
Absolutely. That's what we're, you know, the whole buildup is for. I mean, as good as this area is right now, I mean, you have the teams like New Hartford, Wapsie Valley, Alburnett's a tough team. I mean, there's enough quality teams in this surrounding area where you could throw us all into one district, and if you played it out 5 times, you're probably going to get a different outcome every time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some darn good teams in here, and some new teams kind of surging on, and I really attest a lot of that to travel ball. I mean, these girls that are coming up, there's so much production coming out of freshmen and sophomores and eighth graders that they've been playing, and they started picking it up now, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So it's all starting to really hit it. And, you know, when we get to that postseason, we want to be as polished as we can be. We want to be as high ranked as we can be in the mm-hmm. in the 2A rankings, so we can put ourselves in the best position to, you know, give us ourselves the easiest path to the state tournament. But, yeah, we need those seniors and the leadership and experience to really shine through at those moments.
And how about tonight's matchup? You take on the Denver Cyclones. What do you know about matching up with them and what it's going to take?
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin's doing a heck of a job over there in Denver. They have a really talented young group of girls, a good blend. You know, they're going to be a force to reckon with in this conference for some years to come. You know, and we got lucky enough to get two from them the first time we played them.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, you know, we'll run that JV varsity stretch. But I'm looking, you know, for our seniors to really feed off of last night. You know, we played Waterloo West last night. And that was a tough battle, and I think there's a lot of takeaways from that game that lead us into this weekend, playing a lot of teams that are going to play at a faster pace. That, you know, when you get to that 3A, 4A, 5A talent, things just are a little bit quicker at each level. And this weekend we could face anywhere from a Muscatine and Fort Dodge all the way to, I mean, our first matchup is against number 1 and 2A Iowa City Regina. So we're gonna be tested this weekend. Tonight's going to be a good game leading into that. You know, I think that, you know, if we do the little things that we need to do, we'll put ourselves in a good position to get that win. But they're a tough team, man. They are a scrappy team over there in Denver, and I really like what Kevin's doing with that program.
Not surprised at all to hear that about the Denver Cyclones. Coach Reginald, thanks so much for your time today on the show. As always, a pleasure to learn more about your team. Best of luck, best of health, and we'll be following along. We'll check in again here sometime soon.
Cole, it's always a pleasure, man. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Stephon Diggs was on the practice field for day 2 of mandatory minicamp after missing Tuesday's session, a situation that Bills head coach Sean McDermott initially called very concerning. McDermott clarified the situation and said Diggs was excused from practice on day 1. He said he gave Diggs some space and let him leave after some conversations the two had. He went on to say that they're in a great spot now. While contract extension talks between the Chargers and Justin Herbert are being described as ongoing, Herbert was asked if he'd consider a hold-in situation where he would report to training camp without practicing. Herbert said, quote, "It's something that we'll address when the time comes, but I guess we'll see." And as Travis Kelce enters his 11th season, he was asked how long he plans to play. Kelce says he plans to play until the wheels fall off. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The exterior of your business is the first thing people will notice about you, and this includes your parking lot. When someone pulls into your business, what do they see? If your lot is not well-maintained, they just may see your competitor. Let us help you make a better first impression. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Our customers know us for our extraordinary service. You see, we'll work around your business hours to avoid disruptions. We use superior products, and we pay attention to the little details. This keeps our customers coming back time and time again. Call us or go online to alinestriping.com.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The U.S. Open is a historic major event. Over the years, the tournament has built a reputation as one of the hardest events on tour. The hosting course changes on a yearly basis. But historically speaking, this event always tends to separate the elite players. Over the last 3 years, the winner of the tournament has failed to shoot better than 6 under par. In 2018, Brooks Koepka won the major title after scoring a total of 1 over par at Shinnecock. We can't be certain what the L.A. Country Club will have in store this week, but in true U.S. Open fashion, the winner this weekend will have to earn it. The course features unforgiving slopes and fast greens, devastatingly deep rough, and par threes that have a distance of 228, 284, and 290. And with so much outside noise surrounding the game itself, watching the best players in the world compete at a historically difficult course is a welcome break from all the madness. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
You've heard CEO Howard Mackler of Innovation Refunds and GetRefunds.com explain how he's helped so many small businesses with the ERC tax refunds. In fact, Innovation Refunds has already completed over 17,000 returns for many kinds of businesses just like yours. Construction, retail, restaurants, bars, hotels, and so many more. Government data experts have estimated that 86% of small businesses were likely eligible to receive an ERC tax credit. The challenge is cutting through all the red tape to get your money. Innovation Refunds has specialized tax attorneys who are experienced in government application tax returns. To start the process, you have to go to GetRefunds.com. No upfront charge. They don't get paid until you get paid. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $5 billion in payroll tax refunds. GetRefunds.com or download the app from the App Store today. That's GetRefunds.com. Good luck.
You're listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan. And you're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, weekdays 5 to 6.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Thursday. Got to thank Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register once again, as well as Waterloo Columbus Catholic High School softball coach Ryan Reginald for both joining today's show. Podcast will be available shortly at 1650thefan.com. Series finale of Cubs Pirates coming up in a little over a half hour here on The Fan. 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight as the Cubs go for the sweep of the Buccos. Enjoy the game. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 1-